on Friday, your chance to nominate new bumper music that will play starting in the month of May for this very, very show. So again, between 2 and 5 on Friday, you can nominate via the Nicolay Law Talking text line any new bumper music that you may want to hear. So that's coming up Friday. Tomorrow, really, really abbreviated show. We'll be on the air at 2 o'clock like normal, but once the Brewers game is done, Tim Allen and Tommy Wirtz will hop on after the last pitch. You make the switch to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, and then I get to leave and go home and cut the grass. And I told Charlie, I said, dude, I can't wait. And Charlie's like, you are such an old man. No, but let me tell you something. Tommy Wirtz knows this. I got into a rhythm last year of on the weekends, usually Saturday or Sunday, I would time up cutting the grass for when Tommy had the leadoff show on, and I'd put on my headphones outside. Now, again, I look like a dork with my headphones. I get it. But my AM FM headphones outside, and I listen to it while I cut the grass. So tomorrow, I'll be able to go home, cut the grass, and listen to Tim and Tommy do the postgame show. It's perfect.
Oh, my God. That makes you sound so much less like an old man. You're so right, Sparky.
Shut up. All right. Let's get to somebody that I like talking to. He is Ross Uglum of the Packer Report. Joins us now on the guest hotline. Powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Ross, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, let's promote the Green Bay Football Draft Guide. We're using it for our show. We're doing our show on Friday night from 6 till 9, 9:30, Charlie and I. And I've already bought it just like I did last year. And we used it last year when Charlie and Tommy did the first round as well. It is an awesome draft guide. Tell everybody about it and where they can get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go to Packer Report. It's linked in most of our recent articles. If you watch any of my stuff on the Daily Draft on YouTube or listen to it on the podcast, the link is always in the description. And if you just Google Green Bay Draft Guide, it is the top result. It's distributed by Gumroad, G-U-M-R-O-A-D. So if it's gumroad.com/Green Bay Draft Guide, that is us. So
it's a beautiful thing. And I downloaded this thing and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to print this out for me and Charlie. Damn, man, it's like 300 pages long. I would have to cut down a tree to print this thing out.
Yeah, it's not the most environmental thing to to print off and you know, to bind and copy our guide. I you know, the first year we did it, I was so proud of it. I did that, but you know, again, as a citizen of the earth, I've been, you know, just rocking the PDF on the and tablet. I think that works.
I think it's on Earth Day today. I think is that right? Last year we did.
Certainly don't do it today.
No, what last year we did print it out pretty much all of it last year, and Charlie and Tommy had it all at their disposal for the first round. And I'm going to print out some of this. Maybe not today because it's Earth Day, but some of this will be printed out because it's rounds 2 and 3, Russ. I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you, I'm not going to know every single player potentially the Packers could pick in the second and third round. The one thing that I'm looking at here is, after listening to Gutekunst yesterday, he talks about need to add numbers to the cornerback room, and that's where they need to add the most numbers. And I always do my mock drafts on ProFootballNetwork.com all the time. And I've realized they can get a good corner still in the third round and go in a different direction in the second round if they want.
Yeah, it does seem, especially when you look at the corners that might be available, they kind of have those second round grades, and we don't know what, you know, where Green Bay has guys graded, but a lot of the guys that you see in round two are like Avion Terrell.
Yep.
Well, he's light for them. He's slow for them. You know, a number of things that, you know, he's hurt, like things that Green Bay just doesn't like to do. Trayden Stukes is old and probably a safety or a slot. Same thing with Keith Abney from Arizona State, probably a slot. And they just, you know, Keontae Scott, one of my favorite players in this draft, who will have a nice second round grade, is a slot. And with their confidence, and I think it's earned confidence after last year, with their confidence in Javon Bullard, I just think they're in the outside cornerback market.
Agreed. Yeah, so I totally agree.
What you're saying is correct. I mean, Your round three guys like your Julian Neals and your Davison Igbinosin.
Dude, he holds everybody. He holds everybody. He goes in the grocery store. He holds a random lady going past him. He can't keep his hands off of offensive players. That dude scares me. I don't know about that dude.
Igbinosin?
Yes.
Yeah, if he didn't hold, he'd be a first round pick.
Well, but he does hold. That's the thing. He does hold. Yeah, though. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, your Julian Neals, even your Malik Muhammad, who is probably a little skinny for them. Yeah. I mean, you don't get, especially at a premium position like cornerback, you don't get perfect prospects in round three. But, you know, guys the Packers might like, yeah, there's good options there. Or I tell you, and you know, the board, whether it's, you know, I enjoy FanSpeak, I enjoy PFF's Mock Draft Simulator, I enjoy Stick to the Model Simulator, like all those, right? But kind of no matter who I use or whose board I'm using, boy, the value to me is trading down. And a lot of times I end up taking a nose tackle at, you know,
there you go,
62 or okay, 65 or, you know, however, trading yeah, down 10, 13 spots. But
yeah,
you're right. I mean, the corner, unless it's Chris Johnson from San Diego State, who's becoming less and less likely, and I think is even becoming more and more likely to hear his name called on Thursday.
End of one, yep.
Yeah, I just, it's hard for me to marry non-slot Packers-type corner with pick 52. It's very difficult.
Do you see a world in where they potentially go tight end or wide receiver in round two?
I think wide receiver is more likely than tight end, and I like Sam Roush from Stanford as much as the next guy. The number two tight end that everybody loves or that everybody kind of has ranked there is Eli Stowers.
From Missouri? Just,
Vanderbilt.
Oh, Vanderbilt. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But he's just kind of that, like, move tight end, Brevin Jordan type, trying to think of another decent, but, like, just not what they do. They really have never, as much as I've kind of wanted that H-back type player, that, like, big slot tight end, it's just not what they do. Even Musgrave isn't really that, right? He's this tall, lanky seam stretcher, ideally. They just have not gone after that type of human. Chigakonkwo would be another one, right? Stowers is like that. I think the Max Clairs at Ohio State, the Marlon Kleins at Michigan, Eli Raridan at Notre Dame, like those would be the types, and I don't see those as second round values. Receivers, and granted, I'm higher on these guys than some, but boy, I wouldn't blink about Bryce Lance from North Dakota State or Ted Hurst from Georgia State.
Hold on. In the second round for Lance, like, I like Lance, but I like him more in the third round. You think he could go as early as in the second?
I have second round grades on Jeremy Bernard, Bryce Lance, and Ted Hurst. And I know they like Chris Frizzell.
Yeah, I like Hurst.
There's not a lot of holes to the game. I think the number one thing that people worry about with Lance, and this is a super nerdy thing, is the late breakout age. And really, to me, man, that, as close to the North Dakota State program as I am, that was just bluntly a mistake by the prior coaching staff. When he was given the opportunity to play, he had a 1,000-yard season, and then he backed that up with a 1,000-yard season. And he's a freak athlete, and yeah, he's older, but I just think, as far as him, Jeremy Bernard, and Ted Hurst, I do not have a big grade difference. They do different things, you know, but any of those four, including Brazell, I'd be fine with. And Brazell's interesting because he is thinner. I mean, he fits their weight threshold, but he's also really tall and barely fits the weight threshold. So he doesn't look like Christian. He doesn't look like Wicks. He's tall and skinny. But with that said, some of the criticisms associated with Brazell, you need to go back to his Tulane tape, because his Tennessee tape is like all the Tennessee guys, right? Only lines up on one side of the ball. They line up across the entire field. It's a ridiculous offense. It doesn't translate to the pros, and all that's valid.